Willard and Dibs.
What is your favorite or the best play on words using your last name that you heard?
That ball got Schmidt on.
Oh! On 95.7 The Game.
What's over? What's going on, Smiley? You got the Cheshire Cat grin.
It's not so much Cheshire Cat grin. That would mean I got something cooking. And it's kind of the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, well, there's Casey Schmidt. Remember when he was talking to us at a lighter time in life?
Yep.
And it's not upset. I'm just stunned. I'm stunned, and I think that the organization is probably stunned as well. I mean, again, run this sort of through your timeline and your measurements, if you will. And against Willie and Dibby and 888-957-9570 and
the Giants have traded Tyler Rogers
and they stink and they are white flagging it, and we're told that more trades are coming, and they are coming from the major league roster. The day that Rafi Devers was acquired by the San Francisco Giants was a stop what you're doing, because apparently he's about to ruin the image and the style that you're used to. But like
in the season,
yeah, like, but it was a stop what you're doing and usher in a new era type of a celebration. You saw the way the Giants handled it. We're going to have Dave Fleming run the press conference. We're going to have all the players come up to the press conference and make this all about basically Buster Posey's signature move. And from that moment forward, the Giants have been absolutely awful at baseball to the point where on July 30th they're giving up. And I just think that that's wild. I think it's stunning. I feel for fans. I mean, people, I'm sure, bought August and September tickets with the idea that stretch run baseball was coming. And instead, you're going to get, hey, we finished ahead of the Rockies again. That's what you're going to get.
We occasionally hear from a guy named Richie in Queens,
yep.
And he's called us a few times, and every time he says, hey, guys, I just hope that my trip to Milwaukee in August is still going to matter because, I really want them to still be in contention.
Well, they're not.
Well, and I told him every time, I said, Richie, come on. They're going to be very relevant. They're going to be right in the mix. You don't have to worry about your trip to Milwaukee in August. Thanks, Dibs. You're dead to me now.
So Lucas just whispered in my ear when I said, hey, you're going to finish ahead of the Rockies. He goes, it's not over yet. It's funny because when you hear right now, it's not over yet. It's like, well, the Giants are still a 500 team. It's not over yet. That's not what he meant. He meant that the Giants have not clinched finishing ahead of the Rockies.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at the standings that day you just described. I was in Santa Barbara, and I had just gotten all my son's stuff in my car so I could drive home the next day. He's graduating college, and I'm listening to Roxy Bernstein, and Rafi Devers is a Giant. Hold on. Pull over. Mm-hmm. Wow, this is incredible. The Giants were the fifth team in the National League. They were a game and a half back of Philadelphia for the number one wild card. They were 41-31 despite losing to the Dodgers that day, and they've proceeded to lose 23 of 36 since that day. And on that day, Mark, they had a 26.5 game lead on the Rockies. Where are we at now?
They lead the Rockies by, quick math, 25.5.
Oh, so Colorado's only picked up one game?
Yep, because
that's
they're
hilarious.
Colorado.
I know.
They win a game a week.
Right.
They win a game a week.
Just when Lucas said that, like, oh, they haven't clinched finishing ahead of them. I thought that Colorado would have at least been within like 18, but he's right. 25.5. It's not a done deal.
Colorado is 28-79. They are 28-79.
It's not good.
So, I mean, here we are. Like, I just think we've got to sit with that for a second. What is the level of disappointment that this brings. And I know that for some of you, you're like, this is too early of a conversation. This is in some ways a major league trade. It's a good baseball trade. It makes sense. They're still only sitting there at 500. Come on. Win one for the Gipper. Here we go. Like, it's not over yet. They could turn it around. You can do all of that. But I'm just not going to do that with you. Those things aren't wrong. I understand that. Like, that's all allowed, and that's certainly within the realm of possibility. Like, we just looked at their playoff odds yesterday, and they were about 20%, which is not nothing. I don't know what they are today, but I'm going to go a different route because where my mind goes is not math, and it's not like, hey, guys are going to turn it around. It's much more about organizational philosophy. And I do go back to that day. And that day when Buster and Larry Bear and everybody sat up there on the dais,
mm-hmm,
with Rafi Devers, the optimism was overflowing, the excitement, the thought of finally. Remember, Buster started that whole conversation with a dude. Remember that? Y'all know what it means to be a dude in a sport? I know some people just think a dude means a guy. No, a dude in sports means like you got one of the uber elite people on planet Earth doing what he does. Steph Curry is a dude. Jimmy Butler, a dude. And he goes, we got a dude. We got Rafi Devers. And the optimism was everywhere. And everything has sucked from that moment. Everything has been absolutely awful, and so I just want to acknowledge the fans out there who really thought that this might be heading somewhere and this was exciting, and we're not, like, because, man, that phrase in professional sports in a major market like San Francisco, building for the future, I can't stand it. I hate it.
It's a loser mentality.
Completely.
It just indicates that you're not good enough now, so you hope to get some pieces to be good later. And in football, you don't really do that often unless you draft a quarterback and you let him go out there and you figure, okay, in a year or two, I'm not going to be great. But the Niners got lightning in a bottle with their drafted QB, so they didn't have to go through that. In the NBA, we've gotten accustomed to it here where you got Steph Curry and Joe Lacob's out there pulling in Kevin Durant and they're doing everything they can to win. So we've been a little bit spoiled. And the Giants, you mentioned it, top 7 payroll. Even when they haven't been up there, they've been top 10 most years. So at least they present the illusion that they're, you know, trying to do more than just break even. So when they make this trade, and I was just looking at the box score, that first game, Devers had 2 hits, 2 for 5. Giants lose 3-2,
yeah,
which it's what they do. It's what the Giants are best at.
His second at bat, he hit a rocket into the alley. His second at bat, he rocketed a ball into Triple's alley all the way to the wall. Like, it couldn't have been a more exciting start. But this is about more than just that, and I think this is another indictment on where things have been over the last 5 years. To get to this point and be motivated by not just the failings of your major league roster, but to be motivated to start bolstering your farm system because of its failings over the last handful of years. That's the big thing. That's a huge piece of this, which is that the Giants right now are looking for reinforcements to come up from the minor leagues, and they're not there.
Yeah.
2 seasons ago, well, Marco Luciano's going to be a shortstop. Oh, he's got a brick on his hand. All right, well, Matos is going to develop. No, he won't. He's going to hit 160 for you. Well, let's go down and pull up our top pitching prospect, Carson Wisenhunt. Pirates have 4 on the board before he's got 5 outs.
Even Hayden Birdsong, you know, same thing. And
Kyle Harrison was a net disappointment.
Patrick Bailey has been good defensively, but he's hitting 209 now, and we're ready to throw a parade.
And I know that Kyle Haynes, and he's probably got a point, will say, oh, you know, Baseball America, what do they know that we're the 28th ranked farm system? But even if you're like, I don't know, Kyle, what if you're 24th? The bottom line is this: you ain't got a lot of dudes down there. You don't have a lot of people that you're excited about. And so that's part of this motivation, which is let's get some more people that are exciting who are in their early 20s.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't know. I find that to be...
It's disheartening.
Very, very disheartening.
If you were going to have this major league season, yet you had a bunch of four or five guys down there who you knew were going to come up and at least do something, make some impact. Right now, it's Bryce Eldridge. And, yeah, Wizenhunt and Birdsong has already been up. So there's some guys that you're not obviously giving up on. But even if you look at the major league roster and you look at your 25-man roster, it's not like you have 20 guys from your farm, and your farm's been so good that you're just pumping prospects into the big club.
No. I mean...
The majority of your best players are from outside.
We asked him at the end of the conversation, again, Kyle Haynes, who is the director of player development for the Giants, we asked him about, who are you excited about that like you don't hear fans talking a lot about? And he mentioned somebody who literally just arrived at AA. Like, he just got there.
Yep.
And he did a nice sales job on it, and the kid is playing really well, but it's like, he's not on the doorstep at all. And maybe Eldridge is, and maybe that'll be, like, really exciting.
It'll be exciting.
To come back next year and see Devers is the DH and Eldridge is the first baseman, and you got Chapman and Adames and Jung-Hoo, and maybe you got a lineup that actually, like, really is exciting. But I don't know, man. To be looking to next year before we get out of the J months is absolutely bananas based on where this season has been.
Well, to act on that with a move at the deadline where you trade an almost all-star reliever, that's the real tell.
We are sponsored by carsforkids.org. 888-957-9570. All right. There is Jonathan Kuminga news. You must hear it. We are going to have a very specific question to ask each of you. You will need to engage because we demand it. We need answers. And I think by a show of hands, we can figure this thing out if we work on it together. So let's do that coming up next on Willard and Dibbs.
Bay Area, this is Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
All right. Here's what I want to say about JK.
Yeah, take your time. Collect your thoughts.
Actually, no, I got my thoughts. They done collected.
Yeah.
Okay?
We can get into it because you and I have a difference of opinion about a couple different aspects of this.
Okay.
So lay it out, and then I'll just rat-a-tat-tat you.
Okay. So he cannot be on this team this year.
Why? I mean, can't grown-ups work through their differences?
Sure, but not these.
Why not?
Because they've been trying for years, and it doesn't work, and they're getting further apart. They're not working it out. It's getting worse. People are on social media. I'm going to bet on myself.
Right.
Like, that just happened today. There are free agents who have essentially signed with the Warriors who won't sign because everybody is completely stuck in cement on this thing. And so here's what I want to say. This is not Team Kuminga, and it's not Team Warriors.
Because they're both to blame on where we are here at the end of July.
Completely, and whatever, and sometimes it doesn't work out. And if you want to make it about, like, oh, you mismanaged this, that, the other, doesn't matter anymore. To me, my word to the wise is this. Look at training camp for the Niners last year. You and I just talked this out yesterday. Charvarius Ward was very open in a lengthy interview with Mike Silver about all of the contractual crap that came into Niners camp last year, and it ruined everything. And if you'd like to do that with the Warriors this year, be my guest. I vote against it. It ain't possible. It is not. There is not an avenue, in my opinion, for Jonathan Kuminga to get what he wants, the Warriors to get what they want, bring this circus to town and have people handle it like grown-ups and win basketball games and have everybody feel like what they need and want is taken care of. That, to me, does not exist. Instead, if you force this issue and you bring this guy back, you're literally bringing to your bench somebody who does not want to be there, has a major presence, is the person who's going to be talked about. Like all last summer, what was it? Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
Ayuk Brandon. Brandon Ayuk.
That's, they brought him back.
Right. And how's that going?
Well, he got hurt. So right. That's an unfair.
No, it's not.
Yeah, because he got hurt.
No, because it's not just about him. You went 6-11.
Right.
And it wasn't just Brandon.
It was many other things.
And a lot of them were contractual. Charvarius literally said it yesterday.
And it was McCaffrey and Trent.
And Charvarius.
Right.
Like, everybody's up in their feelings, and they're not getting out of them. And so that, to me, is exactly where we stand with Jonathan Kuminga and the Warriors. And so there are three options on the table. Either he takes this two-year offer that's there, or he plays on the qualifying offer, or they find a sign and trade. And you're not going to love what they're getting back, but I'm telling you that that's the right way for this to go.
Yeah, I disagree. Yeah. And the whole notion that it can't work and they can't mend it, I don't believe that. You're dealing with one of the great people, coaches in Steve Kerr. You've got an organization full of veterans. And Draymond already had his comments, and he told everyone it's not about JK, what he's saying about these guys who don't understand the nature of it. So I take you at your word, Draymond. You said it with your chest. He stands on it. I think that if Kuminga comes back in whatever fashion, they can make it work. Now,
how?
It will be.
Tell me how.
You sit down and you agree that
This can't be done with words.
I'm trying to tell you how.
But this has already been happening for 3 years.
It can be done with words, and then it gets followed up with actions. And if he plays on the qualifying offer, which he's already kind of saying that he's not afraid to do it, he'll bet on himself. And I would tell you this. If you're Kuminga, and it seems like he would rather play on the qualifying offer for $8 million than sign for $2 and $45 million, because if that's what the Warriors are continuing to put in front of him, and he says no thank you because he doesn't want 2 years of Warrior team control, that tells me that he wants to be out of here, but he may not have a sign-and-trade option because the Warriors, for their part, they're not going to take a crap offer.
Yeah, so
I don't believe that they're going to take a crap offer.
Do it. Bring toxicity into your dinner table.
Well, you've done it before, and you
really
made it to the second round of the playoffs.
How so? When did
you
tell
me
before?
The Jordan Poole, that was not a toxic situation. When Draymond Green knocks him out, he played 82 games, and
right.
You went to the playoffs.
And you won almost zero road games because you all hated each other.
You were a playoff team. You won a series on the road.
You got
and you
lucky.
Went to the second round.
You got lucky because you
lucky. Steph had 50.
No, you got lucky. You played an adorable team that wasn't even ready to be in the playoffs. That happened
right.
to be
when
the
last
three
year
seed.
You played against a team who was equally young and equally precocious, who was a 2 seed.
Yeah, that's why I don't really find the two situations comparable. To be honest with you,
I do because it was toxic, and it was toxic before Draymond punched him. Klay Thompson had already made comments, and during the year, Steph Curry threw a mouthpiece.
But he'd been paid. He was already.
The distraction factor was already there, and it was.
Again,
I think that it was probably a bigger factor than what this would be.
But it was training camp. It was training camp. They didn't want that in the room.
They could have traded him at the deadline.
Yeah,
but
they
didn't.
Have. Yeah, no, they didn't.
They rode out the whole year.
Right.
Jordan Poole played in 82 games.
And I found it to be in a very frustrating year.
It was a little bit awkward, for sure.
Yeah.
Poole averaged 20 a game, and a lot of it was dribble, dribble, fall down, and he was trying to get his.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
The cohesiveness was not great, but you made it to the second round of the playoffs, so to say that didn't work, I think would be over-dramatizing the situation.
It wasn't good. It wasn't what you want.
But they
and
were
that's
able
all,
to make it work.
Right, because they were already pot committed and stuck late in the year. I'm simply saying right now it's only July. Why invite this to your party when you already know and in theory you have other options? Jonathan Kuminga does not want to be here. He does not want to be a Warrior anymore.
I wonder if Jordan Poole wanted to be a Warrior.
He certainly did when they started camp.
Well,
I mean,
he got knocked out.
He signed a contract.
Right.
They offered him a contract, and he signed it. Jonathan is being offered a contract. He won't sign it. He's literally in the public eye saying, I will not sign this. They're calling Shams and telling him.
Right.
This negotiation has arrived at the media. It's on social media. This is toxic, and it's getting worse.
I don't know how much worse it can get.
They're at a standstill. Agency has, the whole summer, they've made zero moves.
Well, it's not like they're the only ones that are in a holding pattern.
No, they
You've
are
got
literally
other...
the only ones
no,
who have not made
Josh
a move.
Josh Giddey is, I'm talking about moves that are still out there to be made. There are other moves that are to be made that haven't been made. So it's not like free agency's done except for them. Other teams are in a similar spot. So if you are the Warriors right now, you're probably not in any great rush. If you already have things, handshake with Horford and handshake with Melton, theoretically, or handshake with Seth Curry,
yeah, I'm not.
You're not worried about anything else. So you don't have to blink or flinch at Kuminga and social media comments.
I agree with you completely.
And you also don't have to take pennies on the dollar and some crappy offer.
Now, you're not in a rush, but I'm telling you, in my opinion, what you are dumb if you bring him back.
See, I disagree.
Listen,
I think you can repair the relationship. I don't even know how broken it is.
By the way, you're only speaking of the relationship. I'm also talking about the basketball. They've been trying working on this for months, and it didn't work. And I don't know what evidence is there that when they come back in October, all of a sudden they're going to find some way to stretch the floor with these guys who they already know don't fit together, because what does Jonathan want? He wants to start, he wants to cook, he wants to score, he wants to play. And that job is not available here with the Golden State Warriors unless major names get hurt, and nobody's rooting for that.
No, so major names will miss time.
Of course they will, but that's
there will
not,
be minutes for him to do what he wants.
Jonathan is not want to go to a team and hope for someone to get hurt so that he can play.
But
that's
he
all
may
I'm
not
saying.
Have that choice. And right. So you get to a spot where, you know, I'm in a situation where I want things from Odyssey that they are probably not willing to give me. And so you go into it and you realize where they are and where you are. And you realize, well, I still want to cook with Willard. And
yeah,
so
But you're part of a functioning current team and your role.
So he's part of a functioning current team.
Not really. If he wants to,
well, if he wants to be a player that they want him to be, and if he gets to that spot where you don't want to sign a 2-year deal because you don't want to cede control, the Warriors don't want to give you a player option, the Warriors don't want to trade you to a team and get crap back, and you reach the end of it, and it's, well, you're going to have to play on the qualifying offer. At that point, he's got a decision to make.
Of course.
Either I play their way and play my butt off, and I'm a free agent, or I go into full, I'm not going to rebound, I'm not going to defend, I'm just going to try to cook, and now it's a DNP, and now he doesn't, you know, all of a sudden, now he's not going to get that contract.
I mean,
so.
I get you're detailing very nicely the negotiating side of this. I'm simply talking about the emotional side of this. This guy is literally spending time with Shams and telling him that he firmly believes this organization has stunted his growth. I don't want that on the team. And he doesn't want to be on this team. So if you don't want that attitude on the team and he doesn't want to play for your team, let's find a way for him to not play for the team. This feels toxic to me, and a lot of these things happen underneath the covers. We only know what we know, and I'm damn pretty sure that it's worse than what we know. Similar to, and this is why I liken it, to what we watched with the 49ers in their offseason last year. This was totally toxic, and we didn't always know that. And yes, a lot of it was out of their control. A lot of it wasn't contracts. Ricky gets shot, yep. All of these things. But a lot of it had to do with people and their feelings about their role, about being wanted. This is Charvarius Ward. This is Brandon Ayuk. This is Trent Williams. It's Christian McCaffrey. And who knows who else? I'm sure more. And it, as Ward even detailed yesterday, affected everyone, and it affected the whole season. I have no interest in that for the Warriors this year, and a firm belief that that's exactly how it will go if he is on that bench and on that floor.
See, I don't have that same firm belief, and we're sitting here in the end of July, and the schedule's not even out yet. Schedule comes out in a couple weeks, and then from there you've got about another month, and then camp starts. So you're talking about 6 weeks for there to be some sort of resolution. Maybe the Warriors wind up giving him a 2-year and $40 million deal, and they give him a player option. We're not to the end of it yet.
I'm not talking about financial resolution.
You're talking about chemistry and fit. And I don't believe that this is irreparable. I don't think it's irreparable. Wow. And I think if you get to a point where Kuminga realizes that if he wants to play basketball, he has to be a Warrior, at that point, you've got decisions to make. The Warriors have to figure out how to make it work, and he has to figure out to do the things for them that allow them to want to play him. I just don't think that it's completely broken.
And in 4 years, they haven't figured it out.
They have figured it out.
They haven't.
Look at last year before they got Jimmy Butler. Kuminga was playing awesome.
It doesn't matter. They have Jimmy Butler.
I understand that.
And they
have
never.
There's plenty of minutes when you don't have Draymond and Jimmy on the floor.
There has never been agreement between Steve Kerr and J.K. about how he should play. And every year that he gets older, it gets worse. He becomes a more experienced player who is closer to free agency, and the stakes go up. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse.
I don't think it necessarily has to get worse.
I do. Jonathan's going to be 24, and then he's going to be 25, and he doesn't want $15 million. He wants $35 million. He wants to start. He wants to score 25
but
a night.
If that's not available right now, and it may not be available right now, what do you do, Hotshot?
Yeah, what do you do? That's a great question.
If the only thing it's available is 7.9 and you're our seventh man. Like, that's it, Jonathan. You didn't want our offer. We don't want to sign and trade you for crap. So what are you going to do? Yeah. Do you want to come and play well and maybe be a part of winning? Then you can be a free agent. You go out and you can get your 3 and 90 or whatever.
You have a lot of faith that suddenly just because he plays on that QO, that means that when Steve Kerr puts him in the game, he's going to play the role that Steve wants him to play, or vice versa, that Jonathan's going to go put up these numbers, or are the Warriors even going to put him in the game? Like, that's what I'm talking about.
Put him in the game.
No, they don't.
Well, if you look at their team and their roster, like, you're not going to give him 82 DNPs. He's not going to get the Reese Beekman treatment.
No, but this isn't about, like, whether or not he can play 10 to 12 minutes a game. My point is you are going to almost assuredly, in my mind, have a very unhappy camper. He doesn't want to be here. It's as clear as day in everything he's saying and doing.
Okay.
And you, as the Warriors, you have done nothing to suggest that you want him here.
You offered him 2 and 45.
Right, because they want return on their asset.
Exactly.
They want 2 and 45 because it's a very tradable contract.
Right.
So what you have, in my mind, is two sides that are negotiating to both find a way to part. So
exactly. Okay, so if you're going to find a way to part and you're the Warriors, you're not going to do it now.
But you haven't found that resolution, and you may well end up with Jonathan, as you're detailing, playing on a QO, which creates a no-trade clause and unrestricted free agency next year, which is not good because now you're literally going to get not pennies on the dollar, zero.
Right.
You're going to get zero on the dollar. So do it now. Get this toxicity
out. Do it now and bring back Dario Saric and some guy whose name I always forget because I've never heard of him.
No, it doesn't have to be that. And it could be with Phoenix. And that deal could change. My point is, you're right. It doesn't need to be right now. It just needs to be before game one. Because you do not. This dynamic is not going to work, my opinion.
It's not going to work. I don't know how broken it is. Neither do you. We're not on the inside. I look at certain players with Phoenix. If you were to get Grayson Allen, for example, somehow, some way, you do it.
Yes.
That's not nothing. Royce O'Neal is not nothing, but it's not as much as you would hope to get at the deadline. But then you're talking about 50 games of awkwardness and trying to keep that value high while also trying to win games. It becomes a very tight needle to thread if that's what you do. You know, if you sign him to 2 and 45, he finally agrees with the honest agreement that you're going to try to trade him.
Shopping him as quickly as possible.
As quickly as possible, which would be January, right?
Yes.
So both sides realize that. The Warriors want to win, and you can't really win consistently with them, but you have to play him to keep his value high.
Oh, sounds wonderful.
It's very, it sounds challenging.
Yeah, you think that Steve Kerr's having trouble with the rotations before. Now we need J.K. to score 20, but also not have too many minutes and not take the ball from Steph and Jimmy and stay happy. And all, like, oh, my God, it sounds like a migraine headache to me.
Sounds difficult, but it's not impossible, in my opinion. And if anyone can do it, it would be Steve Kerr. It would be Steph and Draymond and Jimmy. These are veterans who I think could make it the best it could possibly be.
Listen, add Jonathan in. I do want to say that. We're not dealing with some awful malcontent.
Yeah.
I hate that we're here. I think Jonathan's a great kid. And I think that Steve Kerr and the Warriors are a great organization. But my gosh, we've tried to figure this Rubik's Cube out for long enough. And you're only growing further apart. You're now on social media. The stakes are getting higher. You want more money. It's not available. You clearly want to be elsewhere. They clearly want you to go elsewhere. They just want return on their dollar. And there is not a good answer to this equation. Somebody is going to have to take less than what they want. Probably both sides. And I would simply argue, do it before the season starts And we actually have the standings to worry about. Steph Curry doesn't have time so that, let's mess around with it for 6 months and see what happens. You don't have that time.
It would be three months.
They literally came out of last year talking about how important it is to not fall behind in the first half of the year so that they don't have to chase the standings at the end of the year like they did this year. They don't want to do that. So why would you get messy with the first 3 months of the season this year? You can't afford that. And this feels very messy to me.
You don't know whether or not you can afford it, and we don't know how broken it is, but it comes down to asset management. And if this is an asset, and he is, then you don't just throw him out there at a garage sale. You've got a Picasso, and you're going to sell it like it's finger painting? Because that's basically, and I know he's not quite a Picasso, and you might get more than finger painting, but that's what this feels like. You've got something of value, and you just slap it out at a garage sale for $6.
If it's a ticking time bomb, I want it out of my house.
And I don't think
why
this
you
is a ticking time bomb.
I do. I mean, my God.
Well, you just said that he's not a malcontent.
No, he's not a malcontent, but that doesn't mean that it works. I mean, look at what's unfolded here just in the last 6 months alone.
Very small sample of on-court play, and I think that...
Very large sample of off-court discussion.
Right, but this is business. Large. This is what we do. This is just, I mean, this is business,
I know,
right,
but
in pro sports.
Right, but when you get to the business, when you get back to the business of winning basketball games, listen, I am just a firm believer in removing toxicity from your house. And sometimes you ain't going to get a good return on the dollar when you have toxicity in the house, but you have got to get toxicity out of the house. And when I say that, please understand, I'm not calling JK a toxic person.
And we don't even know how toxic this is.
I feel it is. I don't think we end up with Slater in Cleveland and Shams on the phone. I don't think we end up here if it's not toxic.
Well, greatest desire has been made very clear.
The statement was made, I feel like this organization has stunted my career.
Right.
That's toxic.
I mean, it's real.
That's toxic.
It's his real, honest feelings,
right.
But it doesn't mean that, oh boy, he said that, and we better get him out of here because, man, we can't stunt him another year. We're going to just give him away for Dario Saric.
I think it equals losses. That's what I'm saying. It's not about, for me, it's not about the contract and who wins the deal. This is about losses. I think it will add losses to the standings if you have him on the team this year. And that's not about his basketball acumen. That is about two sides who do not see eye to eye, and they need to get away from each other. That's how I see it.
Yeah, it's end of July, and as I've mentioned before, the season starts usually mid-October, so you've got August and September and half of October to figure out if he stays, how you make it work. And I do believe Steve Kerr when he says, you know, if he's back in camp, we're going to try everything we can to make these combos work.
We're going to try.
I think that you can make it better than it was at the end of the year. And, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot to get from where we are now with Instagram posts betting on myself and leaked details about a contract, which, honestly, my thought this morning was, you turned down 2 and 45 just because of the team option? And if I'm advising JK,
you don't want to be here.
I'm saying, yeah, we don't want to be here. And, honestly, they want to trade you. Let's take the 45 and... By the end of January, JK, I promise you, you'll be elsewhere. Promise you.
Yeah, but you can't. You can't promise that because you're letting the team have the control and they've got to find a deal they like and you don't know if that's going to happen. So,
yeah, but he's got $45 million guaranteed.
Right. I'm with you. Yeah. I understand that. But if he's tweeting out, I'm going to bet on myself, that means he don't care about that $33 million that he's going to leave on the table.
Yeah, as opposed to being able to go out there and cook and get the ha-ha.
Well, can you? Are they going to put me in the game? Like, that's the thing. This whole betting on myself thing means that the Warriors have to actually enter him at the scorer's table. I don't know if they're going to do it. Tim's in North Carolina. Let's take some calls on this. 888-957-9570. Hi, Tim. What's up?
What's up, Willard? Willard, I agree with you 100%. I'm shocked to hear how hard Deb's is going on this one. I mean, I think what we miss, even if he plays for the qualifying offer, Willard, that means by the age of 23 – he's going to be the made $35 million. And then he can go be an unrestricted free agent. I mean, listen, the guy got four-year, $90 million deal on the table from the Kings being offered. We got Phoenix saying they'll give him $70 million more guaranteed if we get a deal with them. I mean, why are we holding the guy hostage? I mean, just get it done, man. I mean, I think what, you know, I hear you did all of this. Yeah, he's going to give up this, give up that. I think if this kid is showing anything, it ain't even really about the money. I think he wants the money, but 4 from 90 for Phoenix is pretty much 2 from 45 for the Warriors. But what is Phoenix offering? We're going to give you a starting role. They actually want him. We can't be hypocrites, man. We can't want all this value from somebody we don't value. Listen to what we're saying. I mean, at the end of the day, man, I mean, don't sleep on the QO qualifying offer, because honestly, he don't have to bet on himself. All he got to do is just make it through the year and don't get hurt. Just don't get hurt. The team is going to want you next year. I mean, everybody knows what you are and what you what's going wow. on at this team.
Yeah,
So listen, man. I at 23 years old, and you bank $35 million. That's nothing to sleep on. So the qualifying offer is not under something to just laugh at.
Like no, it's not just to laugh at it. Tim, thank you very much. We got to run. Jim. Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I'll respond on the other side. Yeah, because
I love the quote, don't get hurt. Like, I mean, but you might. Like, he just did last year.
He's playing in Africa in 12 days in a tournament for his nation, the Congo.
Reportedly not.
Oh, no, he's not going.
Yeah, because this situation is not done.
Well, that would be smart.
I agree.
First thing the agent did right, if that's the way this goes.
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. 888-957-9570. Oh, by the way, also, the Giants have been swept by the Pittsburgh Pirates. And they will head to the trade deadline with a losing record. And Tyler Rogers has already been dealt to the New York Mets. The chase for a playoff spot for the Giants is over, in my opinion. The front office is done with the season. They have become sellers. And also the JK situation with the Warriors has moved to the next level, as we are discussing. And we will continue to next on Willard and Dibs.